Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says something, and please look at where I'm standing as I preach today. Keep asking, and it'll be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and whoever searches will find. And the one who knocks, the door will be open to him. You got to keep asking, you got to keep searching, and you got to keep knocking. Someone say amen. I want to give you seven decisions to birth victory in your life as we segue into victory and how to live a victorious life in the body. Now, I'm not going to tell you that these disciplines are easy because they're not, but I want to tell you the secret to every one of them. I'll sum it all up front, and that is consistency. The problem is many of us want out of the wilderness, but we keep doing what we've always done and we always get what we've always got. And our tendency as human beings is to try something a few times or try it a couple months. I call it jailhouse religion. I call it religion in case of emergency. We quote scripture, we are in the Bible, we watch 20 TV programs a day. But the truth is, we're only obedient because we want out. And that's not God's plan for your life. God's plan is not to get you out, it is to transform you into his image. And so if it doesn't work, we abandon it. But everybody use, I want you to say this word with me, prevail. The word prevail means to be very powerful. It means to gain victory, to have the greatest influence, to be an overcomer or succeed. Who in here wants to prevail this morning? You want to get out of failure into victory, which means you want to prevail over failure, and you want to prevail, go above and beyond the veil, prevail. You want to go into the land of favor. Now, Matthew 16, 18 says, Peter, listen to me, because on this rock I'm going to build my church. And it says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we are the body and we are the church. Someone say amen. So the first decision you got to make is, do you want to be a chunk of coal or do you want to be a diamond? Are you going to die in a coal mine field or are you going to die in a diamond field? That's a spiritual question for everyone underneath the sound of my voice this morning. Will your life remain a chunk of coal, or will you become a diamond under the pressure? Or will the pressure cause you to stay a piece of coal? Will the pressure cause you to self-medicate? Will the pressure cause you to never find out who you are? Will the pressure defeat you? Will the pressure overcome you? Will the pressure convince you you are what your enemy has said about you? Or are you going to be able to stand up and say, I've made up my mind, I'm not going to be a chunk of coal, I'm going to be a diamond, and the pressure that I'm under is going to transform me from what the enemy wanted to do in my life to what God is going to do in my life. What you have to understand about this word diamond, it actually comes from an adamantos. Now, watch this. A-D-A-M in the Greek. What's that spell? Adam. So the root word of diamond is Adam. What did God call the first human being? Adam. Something indestructible. Something that was so hard that it was sure. When someone's made up their mind, they become adamant, strong-willed. And God says you can make a choice this morning to die a lump of coal in the wilderness, or you can die letting the pressure transform you into a diamond for my glory. The number one thing, and this is going to be tough, but how many of you want to live in victory? I want to see your hands this morning. The number one thing you're going to have to do after you make up your mind what you want to be a chunk of coal or do you want to be a diamond? You want to live in failure? Do you want to live in favor? is you're going to have to realize that you have to take responsibility for your own decisions. And that will bring clarity to your life. Now listen, if a decision is a choice, and your thinking dictates the decision, then you are where you are because of what you're thinking. If a decision is a choice to die in the wilderness or to be a diamond, if a decision is a choice to let the enemy continue to intimidate you or to make up your mind you're not going to live here, why sit here until we die? To live in victory is a choice. To live in victory is a decision. A decision makes our choices, but a choice is made by a decision, and decisions are made by thinking people. So if decisions are choices, it's out of our thinking that dictates our decisions, then we are where we are because of our thinking. What do you mean? It means that you believe the lie that you, when you were told when you were molested. You believe the lie when he raped you. You believe the lie from your boss that said you weren't good enough. You believe the lie that the perpetrator played on you when you were young, that it was your fault. I want some of you to listen to me very well this morning. Do you really think that being molested at 7 was your fault? Do you really believe that he left you and never was faithful to you and it was your fault? You just take something as young as a child that was molested. Over 2.5 dozens walked down to the altar, and there's probably twice as many sitting here underneath the sound of my voice right now. And you've believed all your life that the problem that you had because you were molested or you were raped was your fault. Listen, a 7-year-old doesn't even have the cognitive ability to realize that it's their fault. They don't have the cognitive ability to say, I need to get away from here. You've been beating yourself up for years saying, why didn't I just leave? Well, the truth is you weren't even mature enough emotionally to know how to leave. You're still blaming yourself for a marriage that failed years ago. You're still blaming yourself for trusting a guy in business that did you wrong. You got to get to the place in your life where you take responsibility for yourself and you say, it was not my fault. I was just delivering lunch. And these things happened to me. And what that's going to do is it's going to awaken power in each and every one of your lives. Because the one thing you got to understand is that taking responsibility for your past segues you into an extraordinary future. What do you mean taking responsibility if it was not my fault? I'll tell you what I mean. Number one, you don't play the blame game. Where you are today, a lot of times you tell yourself that the consequences you're going through are because of other people's actions. If she would only love me, if he had only been faithful to me, if I'd only got that job, if that boss had only told me the truth, if they had only put the money where they said they were going to put the money, and you begin to live your life blaming other people. They don't give a rat's rear end how you feel about them. And you're bound right here emotionally in your identity because you don't know who you are and you're going around saying it's my fault. Listen, just because you're in a battle doesn't mean God's mad at you. Just because you're in a battle does not mean God has not left you. The issue is God never plans a long-term battle for your life. It is disobedience that leads you into the wilderness for 40 years when he meant for you to go through a valley for 6 days. And it's your thinking in the valley that dictates your imprisonment. It was my fault. I don't deserve it. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not handsome enough. Everybody hates me. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. My chin looks weird. I never get a chance. If I just had a chance. If people would just give me a chance, if I only had these parents instead of those parents, if I'd just been raised with some money rather than in abject poverty, if I wasn't raised in the hood but I could be raised in Ridgewood Heights, then I'd be okay. That's a lie. We are where we are because of the way we think. And when we take responsibility, and we say, and we come to the realization that that thing is never going to show us the way out. that thing is never going to say, okay, game's over, no more pressure, we're done, you fought a good fight, I'm going to let you go. No, that thing wants to kill you. But that thing wants to steal and kill and destroy from you, and he wants to take away your identity so you don't know who you are. Because as long as I can convince you you're somebody that you're not, I'll put your tail in prison the rest of your life. I will be able to manipulate you. I will be able to abuse you. I'll be able to beat you up. I'll make you feel horrible about yourself. I'll make sure you think it's your fault. I'll make sure you're full of shame. I'll make sure you're full of guilt. I'll make sure you're full of condemnation, because I don't need a chain. Condemnation, shame, and guilt are my chains. And so you get stuck here feeling like you are at fault. The last time I checked, most of you were just delivering lunch, little David. But you can't blame people, because until you accept responsibility for where you're at right now, you have no hope of changing your future. Let me say it like this. If you're waiting on your molester to say, I'm sorry, you're going to be waiting a long, long, long time. And that's the way he wants it. But if you ever take away his power and change your thinking, you'll become free. I will not condemn myself one more moment. I will not assume the blame where I am not to blame. I will take the responsibility for where I'm at. And if I'm waiting for the enemy to take responsibility over my welfare, I'm going to be waiting until the cows come home. The person that hurt you, please excuse the Latin, the Greek, and the Hebrew, doesn't give a crap about you. You've got to get to the point to where you start. I'm getting ready to cuss in church, so you listen carefully. Caring for yourself. Why would God give you a body and then want you to neglect yourself? I mean, didn't he say, love me and love your neighbor as your... So maybe loving yourself and taking care of yourself is a godly discipline and not an ungodly discipline. So taking responsibility means that I have spent my last day in guilt. What do you think the Bible says in Romans 8? There is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. If you ever take responsibility for yourself, then you don't blame him. You get away from the blame game. And let me listen to you and listen to me carefully. If I could give you advice as a shepherd this morning, and I am, don't you ever make a martyr of yourself. To give your life for Jesus and the faith is one thing, but to fall on your own sword and make a martyr of yourself assures your destruction. And so taking responsibility means I'm taking away his power. And taking away his power means that I've got to make up my own mind to get out of here. And the only way I'm going to get out of here is good decisions. And the only way I'm going to make good decisions is good thinking. So somehow the straitjacket he's got me in and telling me I'm not enough, speaking lies into my life that says I'm always rejected, that I always have to live in a bad marriage, I always have to live in a horrible environment, and everything is always against me. Will keep my soul bound in hell forever. But if I ever take responsibility and say, through the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, yes, I've been incarcerated. Yes, I've been divorced. Yes, I've been molested. Yes, I used to be a drug addict. Yes, I did some terrible things. He'll take my authenticity and my transparency under the blood of the Lamb and unchain me. Because if there's nothing left for you to be ashamed about, there's no way for him to keep you in a cage. You're in a cage because you don't want anybody to know. Actually, the thing that is meant to hurt this church the most in 18 years is the greatest comforting thing our enemies can say about us. They say it to hurt us, but it actually encourages me. You know what our enemies say about our 1,300 membership here? They say, you people will take anybody. That's right. Because we're all a bunch of broken people put back by the blood. Somebody give God a shout of praise right there. But you have to take responsibility, and you got to be in an environment to where you're no longer a victim. And you got to be real. Listen, some of you wonder why your wife left you. It's because you slapped her. Repent of it and get over it. And learn how to treat the next one right. So you don't lose her too. Take responsibility and say, I'm not blaming this place in life on anything. Because if I blame it on anything, then I'm going to stay bound. I'm not going to blame and get into this blame game. I'm going to take personal responsibility for where I'm at in life, and I understand it begins with my thinking. And my Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. My Bible says, I can do all things that through Christ that strengthens me. My Bible says, I'm the head and not the tail. But the problem is, when you're in the straitjacket of shame and guilt and condemnation, and you're trying to hide your limp, you're bound. And so Mephibosheth, all you can do is hop around and beg for crumbs from the king's table. But if you ever come to the testimony where you say, what should have killed me made me better, that the pressure I've been under has transformed me into a diamond, and I'm more free today than I've ever been freed in my life because I have stopped blaming everybody else for where I'm at in life. Now, we make our own way. Do you realize you're responsible for breaking the cycles? Luke 4:18 says Jesus came to set the oppressed free. Freedom is available for everyone underneath the sound of my voice. So how do you get free? When the pain of staying the same grows larger than the pain you get from changing, you will become free. When the pain of staying the same is outgrown by the pain of changing, you will get free. God uses pain and pressure in our lives to transform us from coal into diamonds. You see, you get out and the first thing you meet's a brick wall. And so you just, because it's not easy, you just give up. Well, the brick wall is not there to keep you out. It's another gift from God for you to show yourself, the Lord, and the world how bad you want it. Walls can intimidate you, or they can accelerate you. Accept the brick wall and you'll be caged the rest of your life. But how do you get out? You're responsible for your thinking. Philippians 4 and 8 says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are honorable, think on these things. Proverbs 23 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's our choices that we've made that has made us who we are today. And even when you're innocent, you can make the choice mentally to believe that it's your fault. And that one choice that is rooted in your thought, in a troubled part of your life, will become your master. It is my fault. I'm not good enough. Life's against me. I have to live in depression forever. I have to be stressed out and full of anxiety. There is no hope. You've believed the lie of the adversary. But when you take responsibility and stop blaming everybody, the lie doesn't work anymore. Now give God a hand clap of praise if you're getting anything out of this. You see, to accept responsibility for our choices includes becoming aware of and accepting responsibility for our thinking. Our decisions are an outward expression of our thinking. There is, in other words, a prospering power to prospective thinking. Some people grumble because the roses have thorns. And then some people say, thank God that roses are beautiful with thorns. Romans 12 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but through the renewing of your mind, overcome the evil one. Hosea says, you're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. What does that mean? I want you to listen to me very carefully. If I don't get any further today, I'm fine. But if you always do what you've always done, you're going to always get what you've always got. Do you realize those 2.5 dozen people that were molested, that you were never meant to get out of that pit by yourself? That you need help guiding yourself through your identity? This church has a doctorate of marriage and family therapy, and if you go to church here, and this is your home church, then what should cost you $150 an hour is free to you. And for those of you who don't, that have issues that are deeper than just once a month, we have 2 referral centers in Evansville, Indiana, and in Nashville, Tennessee, with clinical counselors who love God and who've been formally trained and certified. Part of taking responsibility is saying, there's something wrong in my thinking when I say I was at fault for my parents' divorce and you were 6. There's something wrong when you have sex with every partner you got because you hate that species so much. It's okay to go get help. I would rather be proactive than reactive. As your pastor, I have been to counseling for depression and anxiety. I know of no pastor of a major church in America that has not had to go to counseling. And I can hide that, or I can minister out of health. And I can be an example to 1,300 people that says victory is possible. I would be lying to say I don't care what you think about me. I'd be lying to say I don't get my feelings hurt quite often. And in this world here, you're not supposed to say the things I'm telling you. But my goal is not your bondage or my ego. my goal is your freedom. It's my goal. And I overcome him with the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And I'm free today. Because when you're not free, you can't say those things. Well, what's somebody going to think about me? Who cares? When Moses and Elijah were seen by Jesus and the 12 disciples, and the 12 human beings looked up and said, there is Moshe and there is Elijah. They'd never seen pictures. Nobody had Snapchatted, hey, look at me and Moses playing golf. But yet 12 human beings saw someone who had a glorified body and said, it's Moses. You don't lose your identity when you get to heaven. So it's important here to know who you are and what God is doing in your life. It's as important for you to get emotionally healthy as you can get in this body on this earth. Because, watch, Pastor, it's all going with you. Going with you. Why do you think Paul says in Thessalonians we're going to get a glorified body? You can trade your imprisonment for freedom. Stop blaming everybody and taking responsibility. I didn't say they weren't wrong. I said being a victim is killing you. And then you go back and do the hard work. If you're a woman and you're depressed, you got to be very careful, because that depression will turn on itself and become anger inside of a woman. And anger in a woman is extremely dangerous. Because a man gets angry and throws something and then he's done with it. After he does his little pouting, all you women say amen. He's over it, but not you. Fellas, that's why you could do something wrong and she'll bring it back up on your hide next Christmas. Can I get a witness in this house? They got a memory like an elephant. Anger is not a sin. Anger is a result or reaction to injustice or wrongdoing. But when you get angry over an injustice or a wrongdoing, you're more likely to have the propensity for your anger to develop into a sin. Men and women that are angry turn inside and get angry at themselves. And they bury anger. So you make a choice. And the Bible says, choose you this day. What exactly does that mean? I'll tell you what it means in reality. Now, I could tell you that if you get sprinkled with gold dust, you're going to be healed. And I could tell you if you give $1,000, God's going to give you a Mercedes and you sow a good seed. And I could tell you that you are nothing, if you're a Christian, nothing bad's going to happen to you. And I can tell you those pack of lies a lot of preachers do just to get in your pocketbook. Or I can tell you that if you ever get brave enough to do the hard, difficult work of getting a healthy identity while you transition out of failure into victory, it will metamorphosize your soul. How would you like to go to sleep without guilt tonight? How would you like to lay your head on the pillow without shame? How would you like to be free for the first time in your existence. It is possible. But you need to go get help. And you need to walk through the seed and the root. Matthew says, Jesus says, you got to take it up by the root. Why are you feeling so rejected when God says in Ephesians, you're accepted in my beloved? Why are you so negative about yourself when you were six when it happened? Why did your parents' dysfunction form your identity with no self-worth? Why are you drinking so much? Why must you try the pipe a little longer? Do you want to be free? Stop blaming. Hey, take responsibility for where you're at in life and say, why sit here until I die? And begin to get somebody to help you to do the hard work. And you shall mount up as wings of an eagle. You shall begin to run and not be weary. You shall begin to walk and not faint. The voices of the enemy no longer have power over you because you have taken power over it. How did you get so much power? Taking responsibility, and here's a dirty word, forgiving. Scripture really nails our hides about forgiving. Go ahead and come up here, but don't play until I tell you. It says in Colossians 3:3, you got to forgive the way God forgave you. I don't like that scripture. And then it says in Matthew 6:14 that if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. It gets worse. And then in Luke 17 it says if they sin against you 7 times, you forgive them 70 times. I want you to hear me carefully. You need to say with me, I forgive you. Do you have to mean it? No. The Bible says you call those things that are not as though they were. Some of you need to forgive God today. I've been there. Some of you need to forgive your perpetrator. Some of you need to forgive your adversary. And I know it's not fair because they don't deserve to be forgiven, but neither did you. But the Lord spoke to me studying for this message, and he really hit me hard here. Because I've had to walk through a lot of forgiveness in 18 years. What I really want to pray is, God, I forgive them, put hot coals on their head. In Jesus' name. I want to pray prayers like, bless his heart, kill him anyway. I love David. God, would you knock his teeth out? And I'll give you glory for it. But I think David would say something differently today. That doesn't mean the scriptures are fallible. But they are authentic, and they don't hide the struggle.
of people who want to love God and live in favor. But I think David would admit today that right after Absalom and right after Saul hunting me down like a dog, I went through this process where I started forgiving people. It got so bad that God got so real in my life that Saul was taking a dump and I was hiding behind a rock and getting ready to slit his legs and his skirt with my knife because I was that close. What I had prayed for all my life, revenge, had now come upon me. The problem was, I was going through a metamorphosis from failure to victory. All my life, I wanted to get even with her. All my life, I wanted one chance for him to suffer the way I've suffered. But if you go on this journey, you'll be amazed at what work God will do in you when you don't even know it. And he will place the knife in your hand. And he will place the enemy at your feet. And if you've really started metamorphosizing from a chunk of code to a diamond, when you get what you've always prayed for, you beg God one moment to justify the injustice, you'll reach that knife back and you'll feel the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. And God will give you a choice. Get even or become free. Secretly sneak away. Say, God, it's yours. And you'll have the greatest realization of your life. And that is this: forgiveness is a form of victory. Wasn't going to give an altar call, but I am. If you need to forgive somebody, you got 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Come and stand right here. You're not the bad people, you're the healthy ones. It's the coward listening to me that wants to stay in his dungeon. No music, no theatrics. I know you're here. The Holy Ghost told me. If you need to forgive someone, they may be dead. Get up and come and stand here and declare your victory today. Someone right over here. I wouldn't go to church 5 seconds if it was full of hypocrites who like to play songs and shout and lift their hands and never change. I'm talking about real Christianity, victorious Christianity, powerful Christianity that turns coal into diamonds. Someone right over here. I don't know who you are, but there's bitterness in your heart. Bitterness in your heart. And God sent me to tell you this morning that forgiveness is a form of victory. Get up. Get up. Would you like to see what health looks like? What am I supposed to say? Nothing. You've already said it. You spoke to God with obedience when you arose. Well, can I go to my enemy and explain to him why I didn't cut his robe? No. You don't get the satisfaction of telling him that you had a chance to get even and you didn't. The only one that gets to hear the message and see the movie is God. And you. I want you to simply bow your head. And I want you to say, I forgive them. I relinquish power to get even. Now forgiveness shall become a form of victory in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I need you to help me. Maybe feel the presence of God in here. May you just say amen quietly.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.